Hi, it's Fraser here. What you're about to hear is the audio from a video we've just published on our YouTube channel, an interview with Helen Joyce. To make sure that you never miss great video content like this, make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/spiked. Hello, I'm Fraser Myers, Deputy Editor of Spiked. I'm delighted to be joined down the line by Helen Joyce, Director of Advocacy at Sex Matters. Hi, Helen.
Hey.
Helen, you're joining me the day after the Supreme Court has made a momentous decision to define sex in the law as biological. Could you just unpack that decision for us and explain why it's so significant?
Sure. So it specifically was a judgment about the Equality Act, which is this portmanteau act that rolls up all anti-discrimination law into one massive bundle. It brings in the Sex Discrimination Act 1975, the Race Relations Act, and a bunch of other things about disability, age, et cetera, et cetera. And the trouble is that by the time the Equality Act was passed in 2010, we had had the Gender Recognition Act, which allows some people, it's only happened 9,000 times, some people to get a piece of paper saying they are members of the opposite sex for some legal purposes. And the question was, is the Equality Act one of those legal purposes? And on the face of it, it looks like it is, because there's a line in the Gender Recognition Act that says for all purposes. But if you do this, you turn sex discrimination provisions into something that applies to two mixed sex categories, because there are men now in the women bucket and women in the men bucket. And women have been fighting for years to get this fixed in a way to take the spanner of the Gender Recognition Act out of the Equality Act, so the Equality Act can go back to working for women the way that sex discrimination provisions did before the Gender Recognition Act.
And is it fair to say this is basically a vindication for biological reality? And if so, why has it been such an uphill struggle to have that recognised?
It's a vindication for two things, biological reality and the women who have been fighting for years against every figure in the establishment who said we were wrong. It's important to understand the Supreme Court. It didn't do a sort of a, you know, biological reality matters. That's not their job. Their job is interpreting laws. So they did a very close reading of the two laws. And I'm very proud to say that Sex Matters intervened on the side of For Women Scotland, who were the grassroots group who took this. We got both written and spoken submissions, and the judges thanked us for our cogent analysis. So we helped them to do this exercise of statutory interpretation that allows you to think through what all these different laws mean, how words have to be interpreted, how you should deal with the fact that there are knots in the Equality Act that were accidentally introduced by not thinking through how the Gender Recognition Act interacts with it. And they came out on the side of biological reality. And the reason I'm emphasising that is because it's not that they just went, oh, this is rubbish, or oh, this is silly. What they did is they did their job as the highest court in the land. And so why did the highest court in the land come to this? It's because reality matters. So it was a vindication for the campaigners and a vindication for biological reality, because you can't do the job of protecting human rights unless you do so on the basis of reality.
And what might it have meant had, you know, the right side lost?
Well, everyone thought we would. And I have to say that I thought we would. So if we say 50% is the point at which you cross over from a loss with strong mitigating statements from the court saying, you know, Parliament really needs to sort this mess out, it is a mess, through to a win in which they make, you know, disappointing remarks about, you know, trying to minimise the impact on groups other than women or something like that. I was at about 40%. So I thought it was going to be a loss with the Supreme Court saying, you know, this really does destroy women's rights. In particular, it destroys lesbians' rights. You know, it made an ass of the law. Parliament didn't think this through, but it's Parliament's job to fix. But I wasn't unhappy about that. It was a win either way. I mean, this is obviously better. It's a 10 out of 10 win. And the reason I say that is because this has been a years-long fight that For Women Scotland and all the women around the country who've been supporting them have been going through. And already in previous judgments, it had been clearly established that sex is at least not self-identified. So all the policies that are screwing up women's rights around the country are mostly based on self-identification. They just say, you know, here's the women's toilets, come in if you think you're a woman. And that had already been shown to be unlawful. So we had got like so much out of this legal battle anyway, and we were preparing, or I was preparing, we were preparing for several cases, but I was really preparing for what we do next. We say, you know, look, it's not self-identification. You can't tell the difference between a person with a gender recognition certificate and one without. You know, a man comes in, he's clearly a man. You can't ask him to see a piece of paper. That's ridiculous. We don't run toilets like that. You can't do genital inspections. That's ridiculous. We can see you're a man. We've got to be able to say that you get out. But the thing is, the Supreme Court has done that for us now. It's done that analysis. So we've arrived at the point where you really can operate single-sex spaces, and actually you must.
Mm. And some of the other groups intervening in the case were acting on behalf of lesbians. What does this mean for lesbians and for gay rights?
So that was a particularly important intervention. I think so. There were three things on our side. There were the people who took the case for Women Scotland, and they made this resounding plea to understand that women's rights are very recent, very hard won, and they're being destroyed here. Sex Matters provided the statutory interpretation argument, how you can find a path through all of this. But the Lesbian Coalition of Interveners did something really important too. So the Equality Act is complex, and they did kind of start to try to think about how to not let the Gender Recognition Act screw it up. And briefly, you always could operate single-sex spaces. Even if we had lost, we could still do that. But you had to take a different route to justify keeping out men with certificates and men without certificates from women's spaces. Two different exceptions. It was very complex. People really didn't feel comfortable using it. Activists lied about the law. People misrepresented it. But there was no exception for associations. So for associations of more than 25, it would be flatly unlawful. There was no route to have an association of actual lesbians of more than 25 people unless you included heterosexual men with certificates saying they were women. So that destroys lesbians' freedom of association. It destroys, you know, just it destroys their lives. Like, lesbian spaces have been destroyed. So the court took that very, very seriously. Like, when they asked questions about that, you could see them thinking, you know, this can't be right. And they said in the short statement yesterday, the 15-minute version that was read out in the Supreme Court of the 88-page actual judgment, they said just this beautiful line, which we have said so many times and they have picked up. They said, nobody's sexual orientation is attracted towards a piece of paper. And you're like, yes, biological reality. You know, biological reality underpins our human rights. And that's why the Supreme Court ended up where it did.
And do you think we might have finally reached peak trans? I know there's been a lot of false storms on this question, but is this potentially, you know, the big one?
I do think it is. I really do, because what it's done is it's flipped the default. When people thought that you had to let in men with certificates into women's spaces, and they knew you couldn't ask to see the certificate, then they thought they had to run a self-ID policy just in case. So they let in the men with certificates. They had to let in all the men. Now they know they don't have to let in any men, even the men with certificates. You go back to the status quo ante. You go back to what it was before the Gender Recognition Act, before we started pretending that you could change sex. You run the space on the basis of what you can see with your own two eyes and have always been able to see, which is there are two types of human beings, men and women. And that shifting of the default, it's going to take a little while, because it's like those optical illusions, you know, the ones where you see a profile or you see a vase. And it flips between the two, and different people will see it. They'll be slower. And there's a lot of people who are very deliberately blind. A lot of people who've written bad policies don't want to see the truth, but they will see it. And my message to anybody who has any policy that's based on sex, whether they are an employer who has toilets and changing rooms, whether they're an NHS hospital that has single sex wards, whether they're a sporting authority that runs women's and men's competitions, is unless you are running those on the basis of biological sex, you have no legal backing for what you are doing. You will be challenged and you will lose. So today, okay, it's Holy Thursday while we're talking. It's going to be Tuesday before people are back at work after the Easter break. On Tuesday, you need to go onto your HR department and say, absolutely urgent, look through all our policies. If any of our policies say anything about sex and it doesn't mean biological sex, it is now top of our risk register to fix that policy, because otherwise we face the sort of legal risk that, you know, we're going to lose.
Mm. And do you feel proud at the moment to live on Turf Island? Do you identify with that phrase?
I certainly do. I absolutely do. I cannot tell you how proud I feel in so many respects. I mean, I feel vindicated. I still haven't actually come down off cloud nine, frankly. But also, you know, it's been really fun seeing people who absolutely did not agree with us and who called us bigots or said that we were fighting a culture war or that this was a trivial issue, saying this is what they always thought. Like Anna Sarwar said yesterday on Twitter that he had always said that single-sex spaces should be run on the basis of biological sex, and it got community noted because he didn't. He said that his party had to vote for the Scottish Gender Recognition Reform Bill, which introduced gender self-ID. And, you know, my feeling about that is it's great. The way we get to a win is that everybody who was on the wrong side has to sheepishly head over to the right side. There's the Golden Bridge, the famous Sun Tzu Golden Bridge. They've got to go over the Golden Bridge and they'll pretend they were never on the wrong side. And hello, hello, Annas. Hello, welcome to Team Turf.
Welcome to Team Turf. Welcome to Team Sanity, Team Reality. Helen Joyce, thanks so much for talking to me today.
Thank you, Fraser.